Why, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. In tonight's episode, we will be talking about one of the many various cases that Ed and Lorraine Warren have investigated over the years. This is the case of the Donovan Poltergeist, which took place in 1974. So, before we begin with tonight's episode, I want to thank each and every one of y'all for joining me for tonight's new season, Season 4 of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. This is an all-new season, and hopefully this season will be some of the most scariest, you'll have some of the most scariest stories you guys have heard so far coming from this podcast. So how many of y'all have ever heard of the Donovan Poltergeist? For me personally, it was a new topic. I've never heard of it before. So this is all new information that, you know, I just did my research for over the past couple days. And let me tell you, it is a pretty interesting story. So as I'm sitting here, I have, you know, all sorts of candles burning. I have my salted caramel candle burning, and I have my homemade candles burning. And it is just the great accompaniment to a spooky story, you know, time. Alright, so without any further ado, let's just dive right into the Donovan Poltergeist. So, before we get into tonight's, you know, story, I just want to mention one thing. The background music that I have playing, you know, right now, if anybody is interested, and if you like the music that I play in the background of these episodes, this particular song is called Flowers for Body Snatchers from, A Heart Lass. A Heartless Darkened. So if you're interested, check that out on YouTube. So anyway, our story for tonight takes place in 1974 in West Hartford, Connecticut. It all began when Patty Donovan was a teenager, and she had very few friends growing up. Her parents kept a tight leash on both her and her brother. Now, her parents were Ted and Ellen Donovan, and her brother was named Brian. Now, since she was very lonely, she started using a Ouija board, which anybody else's opinion probably wasn't a very good idea. You don't use a Ouija board to make friends. But I guess she was desperate. But anyway, she started using a Ouija board to communicate with a friend. Now, after she took hold of the planchette, she asked if anybody was there listening to her. But to her surprise, there was a spirit listening. And when the planchette quickly shot up to the yes, Patty was, she's completely fascinated. She was so excited, She was like, oh my god, somebody's listening to me. Now, this started a year-long relationship between Patty and this mysterious entity. Now, Patty had thought that she was talking to a teenage boy who had tragically and, very quickly passed away. Now, during this 1 year relationship with this quote-unquote teenage boy ghost, this started a 1 year, relationship. And in this relationship, the entity would tell her things such as, you're the prettiest girl around. You're prettier than all the girls, who are local here. It played to all of her fantasies. You're the best at everything. You're the prettiest, And Patty, she looked to this entity as her boyfriend, her ghost boyfriend. They even shared secrets as well. On March 2nd of 1974, Patty came up with the brilliant idea to ask the ghost or the entity to manifest himself. She wanted to see her boyfriend, She wanted to know what he looked like. She wanted to take it a step farther. And that unleashed unimaginable horrors. But let's rewind a little bit. Just before March 2nd of 1974, in February of 1974, she actually asked the entity to tell her her future. And to her surprise, the entity did tell her her future, which turned out to be true. It gave her the birth dates of her children and predicted that she would have 3 children by 1978, which that was all true. And then a few days later, on March 2nd, that is the date that she decided that she wanted to see her ghost boyfriend. She asked the entity to manifest. And as I said before, this is when things got really out of hand. So that next day, on March 3rd, Ted Donovan, her dad, his car wouldn't start. Now, why wouldn't his car start? Well, the spark plugs were pulled out mysteriously without any cause. And the rubber hoses were all unfastened. And also the fan belt was cut. There was no logical explanation for this. But that's not the only car trouble that was happening in the Donovan household. Patty's car, as well, wouldn't start. And when they took the car to the local garage, they told Patty and her family that the car's engine's internal parts had been completely disassembled. But car trouble wasn't the only problem for the Donovans. See, even the doorbell became disassembled and ripped out of the housing. Also, shrubbery was ripped out by the root. Mysteriously, there was no logical explanation why shrubbery was ripped out and thrown around the lawn or, you know, thrown around the walkway. Nobody knew who did it. And also, a 6-foot pipe made out of cast iron was bent at a 90-degree angle. Now, this 6-foot pipe was on the roof. That was another aspect of vandalism that the Donovans thought that they were experiencing. They thought they, you know, somebody somewhere was just coming into their house and playing like a cruel prank or, you know, just destroying their stuff for fun. But that wasn't, sadly, the case. On March 8th, Patty received another flat tire. Or actually, she received her first flat tire on March 8th. And no sooner than they fixed that flat tire, she had received another flat tire. And what's strange about this is that the tires look like they have been slashed with a knife. And all the while, during all this mysterious spectral vandalism, sadly, into Patty's possible heartbreak, she couldn't get a hold of her spectral boyfriend. Every time she would use her Ouija board to try to talk to him, the planchette would only point to goodbye. Now, for Ted Donovan, he called the police because of reasons of, well, vandalism. Who was doing this and how could they be stopped? The police had to help them. But it did no good. Ted and his wife began to question their son Brian about the vandalism. And that's when they heard a loud bang from inside the house. And the loud bang was seemingly the culprit behind an 18-inch hole in the wall of Brian's room. There were jagged edges that were pointed inward, indicating that the damage was done from inside the house. Furthermore, there were sounds of scratching in the wall, and the noises continued all week. So, was this vandalism done by some punks? Or was this something way, way, way more sinister? And for these sounds, you know, Ted Donovan, he could not find a cause for the scratching or the pounding or the hole in the wall. And all the while, Patty's car had collected 3 more flat tires, and they had bought new tires for her car. And they had even, you know, attempted to park the car in a locked garage, only to open it the next morning. and find that the tires were all cut again. By the third week, there were loud pounding sounds on the walls, accompanied by sharp, jarring raps that sounded like wooden boards being ripped from the walls. The weekend of March 20th through the 21st, the pressure valves on the radiators became unscrewed, seemingly without reason. Now, Ted wanted to blame his kids, but there were no kids around to be blamed. When Ted screwed the pressure valves back on the radiators, they just came right back off again. The banging in the walls became so frequent that Ted called in a guy to take a look at the furnace, and after 19 hours, Ted was told that there was no problem with the furnace, and the pounding in the walls was also heard by the guy who was called in by Ted. Now, also, Ted decided to call in a plumber to change the pressure valves, but as soon as the plumber would get finished changing the pressure valves, he would find them on the floor, as if somebody had unscrewed them and threw them on the floor. He told Ted that they had a problem, and he wasn't kidding. And on top of all this, with the problems with the radiator and the pressure valves, another one of Patty's car's tires was slashed once again. Now, on March 31st, another slash was made in Patty's car tires, and that made a total of 6 slashed car tires. Something was going on. How can somebody move in and out of somebody's house without anybody seeing them? Unless that person was a ghost or something much worse. Now, as you may have put all together in your head, the tire slashing and the problems with the radiators happened all, and not to mention the pounding in the walls and the scratching in the walls, all these strange occurrences were happening in a matter of just days. From March 2nd to March 31st, I mean, that's pretty quick. So, that night, on March 31st, around 10 p.m., the Donovan parents were in their bedroom watching TV, as it is the quietest room in the house. The lights flashed on and off 3 times, and then the TV shut off. And then, a 6-foot 250-pound dresser levitated off the ground and twisted back and forth. Then a chair levitated that was loaded with clothing. It then dumped the clothes on the floor and then fell on top of the clothes. Even the pictures that were hung around their bedroom lifted from their hooks and floated all around the room in a circle. Thank you. But a little while later, they heard what was, at first, it sounded like a kitten meowing. But then the strange sound seemed like it was the cry of a baby. But Ted and Ellen Donovan did not check it out. So, the pounding noises all throughout the week. The pounding noises continued inside and outside of the house. And on April Fool's Day, April 1st, if you didn't know, in 1974, it literally rained stones and rocks on the Donovan house. They fell for about an hour, which was witnessed by the police, and even the police told the Donovans that they needed to call a priest. Also, after the sun set, various objects would levitate in full view of anyone in the house, and the objects would then drop to the floor, and they would slam against the walls, or they would hurl themselves at somebody in the house. And that's when the Donovan, or Ted Donovan, decided to call in a priest. And the priest told the family that he felt that someone in the Donovan household was disturbed. Later on that day, Ted ventured into work, and he explained to his boss why he had been MIA and why he had been late. And after hearing this story about what he's been experiencing at home, his supervisor gave him the name of Ed and Lorraine Warren. So, while at home later on that day, Ted unpacked a plaster statue of Saint Anne, and immediately after that, he heard a ruckus. He was in the recreation room when he noticed that all the furniture was moved around and flipped over, and all the laundry soaps was spilt all over the floor. The statue of Saint Anne was missing, but Ted found it next to the toilet in the upstairs bathroom. He also happened to find obscenities written in pencil all over his son Brian's bedroom door. When Brian broke down in tears, when Ted, you know, questioned him about it, he was like, you know, why did you write a bunch of nasty words all over his door, all over your door? Brian broke down in tears. And that's when Ted's rage subsided and he realized that this was not his son's doing. Now, that night, no one could sleep. Lights kept on flickering on and off, and the pounding sounds continued. That night, they had to actually sleep in a hotel room. But the paranormal activity continued even at the hotel. The lights continued to switch on and off, and the pounding noises continued so much that they were forced out of the hotel. Now, when they were in the hotel, the next morning when they initially arrived at the hotel, they went down for breakfast. And when they returned from breakfast that morning, they returned to find their whole room trashed. And the manager of the hotel confronted them and said, "If your kids do not stop pounding on the walls and disturbing their neighbors, we're going to have to kick you out." And Ted Donovan said, "Okay, it wasn't my kids." But, you know, the manager did not believe them, and they were actually forced out of the hotel, and they were forced to return home. They returned home on April 6th, and their house was destroyed. The rugs and beds were drenched with fluids such as shoe polish, liquor, cologne, and perfume. There were towels stuffed in toilets, and furniture was all knocked over. Blasphemous words were scribbled all over the walls. Ted's brother visited on Palm Sunday, and all the while Phil's presence seemed to calm down the paranormal activity for just a little while. But however, when Phil started showing photos of a roadside attraction called Holy Land, which included pictures of religious symbolism, the paranormal activity started up again. And once he was showing them the photos of Holy Land, the family noticed that water was flowing from the cellar wall. So that Monday, after Palm Sunday, Ted decided to visit a bordering monastery, and he had a monk come over and, you know, take a look at the house. And this was after Ted had explained what the family was experiencing in their home. Now, the monk declared that the Donovans had a demonic entity in their home. And the monk actually gave the telephone number to the Donovans for help. He gave the telephone number of Ed and Lorraine Warren. When Ted called the number, he was told that the Warrens were out west, but they would return in 5 days. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but this paranormal case takes place in West Hartford, Connecticut. Now, throughout the week, the rocks had returned to rain upon the Donovan residence. Some of the rocks were embedded into the roof, and some of the stones had disappeared completely before they even reached the ground. Crucifixes were turned upside down, and pictures of saints were ripped up. The Saint Anne statue was constantly being hidden. And one time, a box spring of a bed was thrown against a wall that was covered by a picture of Jesus. The refrigerator was moved twice into the middle of the kitchen, accompanied by a freaky, hellish groan. Ted even found his toolbox in the attic mysteriously, completely illogical. And Ellen, the mother, She sensed to have felt a physical presence behind her, and even when she turned around one day, she saw a black mass standing behind her. The Donovan's only hope was to see the Warrens. And finally, Ted eventually did reach the Warrens. When Ted had told Lorraine his story, Lorraine had thought that his imagination had gone completely wild. He was fantastical. But by the time he had actually finished his story, she believed him, and she thought that his family was under demonic siege. She told him that she and Ed would be there the next day. Alright, y'all, I'm gonna put a little break between, telling you guys this story because we're at 28 minutes right now and you can only hold a segment for 30 minutes max. So I'm gonna put a little bit of a break right here and then we'll be back to tell you the second half of the story. So, as we left off when the Warrens had finally made it to the Donovan residence. And when they got to their house the next day, the Warrens noticed that there were stones littering the Donovan yard. There were stones everywhere. There were stones embedded in the roof. Lorraine could sense numerous entities in the house, and the house looked placid. All of the entities Lorraine sensed were all malevolent. Lorraine also sensed that she had to fight and not leave. She had to fight these entities. After Ted had given Ed and Lorraine the grand tour of their house while telling them of all the incidents that happened in each room, Ed then conducted his interview. He asked if anyone knew what caused the paranormal activity. He then asked, "When did the paranormal activity start? Is anyone in the house seeing a psychiatrist? Did you purchase any antique furniture? Has anyone in this house used a Ouija board?" Those are some questions that he asked the Donovan family. And to the question of the Ouija board, Patty Donovan answered yes. The Warrens asked her if she knew the entity's name or if the entity had given her its name. To this question, she answered no. Something needed to be done. Both the Warrens agreed. Ed telephoned Father Jason just after sunset that day, and the activity had already started. Ed pounded on the wall twice, and to this, The entity responded by pounding on the wall with two knocks in return. When Ed rapped four times in response, the entity rapped four times through the table and then on the floor. Ed asked Father Jason to perform a blessing in the home that reduced the frequency and the power of the blows. While the Warrens left for Maine, Father Jason stayed with the family. Over the next few days, the activity continued as usual. That Wednesday of Easter week, the demonic entity showed its defiance to the priest, Father Jason. If Father Jason would ask for a pencil or a simple glass of water, that object would float over to him. And sometimes Father Jason didn't even have to say anything. He would only think it. And whatever he was thinking about would float over to him. So whatever this entity was, it could actually read minds. Now, that night was a hard night for anyone to sleep in the house. Evil was penetrating the house. That Thursday, the Warrens returned to the Donovan residence to find an ashen and shaken Father Jason. He left, but the Warrens stayed with the family. The screaming and pounding and rapping that was experienced in the house made Ed question if the house itself could take the assault without falling in on itself. That night, the Donovan family saw an ultra-black figure materialize in front of them in their room. The double bed levitated with three of the Donovans sitting on it, and the dresser had rolled across the room at Ed Warren after he had challenged the entity. Brian was with Lorraine at the time, but the other three Donovans who were present during this incident was Ted, Ellen, and Patty. Brian was also levitated off the bed and thrown 5 feet into the air and into a wall. He fell into the floor in a crumpled heap. As the activity continued, Ed still questioned the house, if the house could take the spiritual assault. According to the Warrens, an exorcism was the only way to save the Donovans. So the Warrens began compiling data and constructing personality interviews. Now, since the movie The Exorcist had come out in 1973, the Catholic Church, had become reluctant to get involved. They didn't want to make a spectacle of themselves. When Ed interviewed Ted at first, he couldn't handle the idea or the thought of the devil being in his home, while his wife, Ellen, asked God why this was happening to them. But their son, Brian, was a tough read during the interview, but he would definitely need counseling. Now, Patty showed a range of emotions from hostility to indifference and even to lashing out. Now this, according to Ed, this made her primed for possession. So, right now I'm going to tell you guys about a little something quite creepy and terrifying that happened to Father Jason. Rosary beads are off limits to a demonic haunting. Only the strongest and most menacing entities can touch the beads. However, Father Jason, while on the phone with Ed Warren, watched rosary beads that were hidden float out of his room and float down the hall and make a left and then another left into the kitchen. And there in the kitchen, the rosary beads were wrapped around a chair in the simulation or the style of somebody being strangled. Ed told Father Jason to get out of the house with his family. Or with the Donovan family, I'm sorry. Now the Donovans went to stay with Ted's parents during this time. And even while at his parents' home, the spiritual assault still continued. At Ted's parents' house, plumbing was ripped out of the wall, and banging noises continued. Objects continued to levitate throughout the house. Father Jason was also affected. He saw a black mass blocking his way to his room. This figure would keep him prisoner at night. While he was shaving, the light in the bathroom had turned off and disassembled itself. The Warrens returned on April 25th to dedicate their time to the case. The Warrens met Father Jason at a local restaurant when the Donovans were MIA, but Father Jason had a spare key to the house, and when they went into the home, the house was trashed. There were ruined furniture everywhere. There was a nasty, repugnant smell, and fluids were dumped everywhere. The fridge was emptied out with plates and silverware dumped on top of it that was dumped on the floor. When Ed was halfway down the hallway, he noticed that something was wrong. The house began to rumble and shake. But Ed could not begin to move to get out. Lorraine could sense that something was wrong, and she tried to find Ed. Now, on the way out of the house, Ed received two long gashes on his arm that resembled a cross. Now, this is when the Warrens realized that the case had turned into a confrontation. If they didn't stay and fight, then the Donovan family would all possibly die. And the entities would continue to torment both the Warren family and Father Jason for life. On the 25th of April at noon, the Donovans returned home to a disaster. A collective effort between everyone put the house into some order, and it lifted their spirits. And on the 26th of April, the Warrens helped Father Jason put together the paperwork for the church. And that paperwork led to an exorcism date. That was Thursday, May 2nd, 1974. In the meantime, the Warrens stayed with the Donovans, and during this stay, metal picture frames smoldered and caught fire. Scarves, towels, and linens burst into flames. The burning towels, linens, and scarves were flung at people, causing painful burns. Also, furniture was appearing in different rooms, and then it would reappear in the correct room. The activity intensified as the exorcism date neared. The night before, the exorcism was impossible. At 10:30 p.m., they saw a bright light appear in the living room doorway. They also watched the form of two older women materialize in front of them from the waist up. Lorraine told Ed to get away from them, because they were not human. Then, two chairs came tumbling towards Ed and pinned him against the wall. When he made the sign of the cross, the chairs dropped. At 9:30 a.m., the exorcist had arrived. This exorcist was Father Work. Now, Ed and Father Work worked together before. Now, according to Ed, he felt that they were lesser, inhuman spirits present in the home, including an incubus and a devil, an inhuman spirit that was of higher ranking. Before the ritual began, Father Work blessed everyone in the home, but Father Work also confronted Patty, asking her if she had willed this upon her family, in which she shot back in anger that she had not. Then she collected herself and she calmly replied that she had not willed this upon her family. Father Work then asked her if she had asked for the forgiveness of the Lord. And then he started the exorcism. As he conducted the exorcism, Ellen saw something forming by the fireplace. Its head was horned, it had cloven feet, and it had a tail. Then Father Work casted holy water on it, and it immediately disappeared. But then a blood red devil face appeared on the carpet, looking up at them with absolute hate. Father Work swung in Apergillum filled with holy water over the face. It then slowly faded and left a pink outline on the floor. The exorcist said that the departure sign had been made, and he wrapped up the exorcism with a blessing. The spiritual attack lasted for 60 days. After the exorcism, the Donovan's life returned back to normal. Brian went on to college and Patty got married and had 3 children, just as the entity predicted. All of the damage done by the spiritual attack on the house lasted 60 days, but it was not covered by insurance. The insurance company refused to cover acts of God. Now, when I did my research, it said that the Donovan parents at least still lived in the house, and I didn't know when exactly that was written, so they may not live in the house still to this day, but from what I gather from it, they lived out, you know, a good amount of their life after the incident. They may still live there. They may have lived out the rest of their days. I don't know if they've passed away or not, but it's safe to say that after that exorcism, life was normal again, without any incident. And they lived there in peace. Alright, y'all, that about does it for tonight's episode. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found it spooky and entertaining and you learned something new from tonight's episode. Like I said before, this is the first episode of season 4, so, you know, hopefully this season, it might just be our scariest season yet. Who knows? I've got a lot of stuff planned. Also, I want to thank everybody from all around the world for tuning in to Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. And also, I want to say as an afterthought, and you guys are probably, you know, agree with me to a point, hopefully, maybe. But don't you think that Patty Donovan probably got into so much trouble after everything was said and done? I mean, the house got destroyed. I mean, she put everybody in spiritual danger. All because, you know, she thought she was talking to her ghost boyfriend. I mean, I'm sorry, I'd probably end up, if I was one of her parents, I'd be like, oh, you are in so much trouble. Oh my god. But that's just me, you know? So with that being said, I wish you guys a good night, and I hope to see you guys next week for an all-new episode of Demimonde Paranormal. So, be safe, make good choices, be kind to one another, you be careful is one thing, and I will see you next week in sweet dreams, but also, more importantly, stay spooky.